Edwin Thomas was an accomplished actor in the mid to late 1800s. They say that they credit him with bringing Shakespeare to America. All the critics lauded him for the way that he could portray the characters on stage, and even the British critics lauded his ability. They say that at one time he did 100 consecutive showings of Hamlet. Now, not only was he an actor, but also his two brothers were actors as well, but they weren't nearly as famous and well-known as Edwin Thomas. Be that as it may, in 1863, the three of them actually got together, and they did a play together. In fact, they did Julius Caesar. And what seemed to be a turn of a little bit of irony, his brother John played the role of Brutus, the assassin. You see, 2 years later, he wouldn't just play the role of assassin, he would be the assassin in Ford's Theater as he pulled the trigger and shot Abraham Lincoln. Edwin Thomas Booth and John Wilkes Booth. But the story doesn't end there. Edwin was so devastated by the fact that his brother had killed the President of the United States, he gave up acting. He said, I'll never go back on the stage again, and he tried to enter into retirement. And he probably never would have stepped foot on stage again except for a little twist of fate that happened in a New Jersey train station. The station was crowded. He noticed that there was a very well-dressed young man and that the crowd pushed against him. The young man lost his footing and fell between the rail and the platform. Edwin, not even thinking twice, wrapped his legs around the rail, grabbed the young man, and pulled him to safety. Once there were sighs of relief that the man was now safe, he recognized the famous actor, but Edwin did not recognize the young man. It wasn't until 2 weeks later when he received a letter from General Grant's secretary thanking him for saving the life of the son of an American hero, thanking him for saving the life of Abraham Lincoln's son, Robert Todd. How ironic. One brother takes the life of President Lincoln. One saves the life of his son. And you say, how could that be? How could they take such different paths? Both Edwin and John had the same parents, the same mother, the same father. They grew up in the same home. They had the same upbringing. They even chose the same career, and yet they chose such different paths. One chose the path of death, and the other one, that of life. How can that be? I'm not sure how it can be, but I'm guessing that all of us can think of a family or two where siblings have gone in opposite directions, and it doesn't seem to make sense. They were brought up the same way. They have the same genetics, but one chooses this path, and the other one chooses that path. It's because God gives us choices. God has created us so that we can choose in this life. He gives us what's called free will. And so we have choices to make in this life, and he allows us to make those choices. But the question today is, how do we make the right choice? And what I pray is that this morning you will understand that because of God's grace and because of what Jesus has accomplished for you, that you indeed can make the right choices. Because God lets us choose. Look through the pages of Scripture and see how much choice God has given to his people. Abel chose to honor God. Cain chose murder. Abraham at one moment is called the friend of God, is doing all kinds of things. And the next moment, he's telling the Pharaoh of Egypt that his wife is actually his sister because he's afraid that he'll be killed when the Pharaoh will take her. And how about Lot, his family member? Talk about the worst real estate decision in history. I'll take the cottage in Gomorrah. Yeah. Location, location, location. Saul chose power. David chose Bathsheba. How about Peter and Judas? Both of them deny Jesus in their own way. Peter chooses to seek mercy and forgiveness. Judas chooses death. And the two thieves, one on each side of Jesus, both of them insulting him, both of them railing on him, both of them listening to the words of Jesus, but one of them continues to insult him when the other calls out for mercy from him. One is given life, the other death. It's choices. God gives us choices. We're unique in all of his creation because he's given us free will and the ability to choose and to make decisions. Much different, say, from the angels. The angels don't have a choice. If God commands the angels, they do what he says. They are his messengers. They can't say, no, I don't want to do that today. They do as God tells them to do, but we have a choice in the matter. And it makes for a very different relationship that we have with God than, say, what the angels have with God. Now, this is an inadequate illustration, but I'll try anyways. So let's say today after church, you decide that tonight you're going to go out to dinner. So you pick your favorite restaurant, you arrive at your restaurant, you take a look at the menu, you place your order with the server takes your order back to the kitchen, and there, the chef, he fixes or she fixes your meal. And he or she does so because they have to. They don't have a choice in the matter. If they want to stay employed, they better fix your meal, and they better fix it well, otherwise they're no longer going to work there. So they don't really have a choice in the matter. If they want to keep their job, they're going to prepare the meal for you. Now contrast that, if you will, after church, your friends invite you over for supper. And so you arrive at their house, and immediately you see that they're busy in the kitchen, and they've got smiles on their faces as they're making all kinds of preparation for your meal. Do they have to cook your meal? No, they invited you over. They're glad that you're there. They're actually putting extra effort into it to make sure that you enjoy the evening. Do you see the difference in the relationship? God wants a relationship with you. And relationships are built on choice. Relationships can't be forced. They can't be demanded. And so God gives us choices. We have the incredible power to say no to God. Imagine that. God gives us the ability to say no to him. God says, I want you to do this. And you say, no, I'm not doing that. We can turn our back on God. We can be disobedient to God. He's given us that power. So what that means is when you lie to your friends, that's all on you. You made that choice. You made the decision. When you're rude to the person in the store, that's on you. That was your decision. When you're driving like a maniac going 90 miles an hour down the freeway, that's all on you. Because that's a choice that God allowed you to make. It's incredible what God, really, a privilege, responsibility that he gives to us, that we have choices. But how do we make the right choice? How do we make good choices and good decisions? Well, the first way that we make the right choice is to recognize that it's about God's choice. It's the fact that God chose you. This is where it all begins, is the fact that God chose you. Scripture tells us that we are born sinful, that we're born enemies of God, and that there is nothing good about us, and we can't choose God. We can't make the first move towards God. In fact, really, we can't even do anything good in his eyes. So God has to choose you. God has to come to you. Listen to what Jesus said. We'll go to the Gospel of John. He said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit. Well, bearing fruit is being faithful to God, doing the things that God wants us to do, right? How is it that we're able to do that? Because we didn't choose God. Jesus says, I chose you. And now that I've chosen you, now you can go and bear fruit. Or how about what he said, John, in his first letter? He said, we love. Why? Because he first loved us. We can't love God until God first loves us. It's all about God's choices. So the Father chose to ask the Son to come into our world. Jesus chose the nails on the cross. Jesus made the decision to have all of mankind's sin placed upon him, and he himself became sin. He chose to suffer through hell so that you and I could taste heaven. It was God choosing you and God coming to you. He came to you in the waters of baptism as the Holy Spirit entered into your heart and established that saving relationship with him. He comes to you through the power of his word and how it enriches your life. He'll come to you in the sacrament, for in with and under the bread and the wine is Jesus' body and blood to assure you of his love and the forgiveness that he has for you. God chose you. Because God chose you, now we can choose wisely. We can make good decisions and good choices. The top of the list in choosing wisely is choose to take responsibility. To take responsibility for our own actions, our own decisions, the good and especially the bad. To own up to what we have done. Let's look at the thief on the cross one more time. So we're in Luke 23. I'm going to skip up a bit to verse 41. So the thief is talking to the other thief. He says, "Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we, indeed, justly, for we're receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." He took responsibility. There was no excuses, no rationalization, no extenuating circumstances, no bad home life, no wrong crowd that he was running around with. He says, "We're getting what we deserve." He's taken responsibility for all of his bad choices and decisions. Choosing wisely means that we step up and we take responsibility for our decisions. We take responsibility for our choices. No rationalization, no extenuating circumstances. We own up to it. This is why God calls us to confession. God calls us to confession so that we can step up and take responsibility to come before God and say, "I have made some bad choices. I have made sinful decisions, God." No excuses, no rationalization. Own up to it. And how does God respond when we do that? Well, Jesus said to the thief, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Scripture tells us that if we confess our sins, that God is faithful and just, and he'll forgive all of our unrighteousness. We step up and take responsibility, understanding the choices and decisions that we make, and God steps in and covers us with his grace and forgiveness and says that we can start anew once again because we're taking responsibility. All right, so perhaps this will help. So it's April, right? Tax time. Yay. All right, can't wait. So you're down, you're filling out your taxes, or you get your tax man filling them out, right? And all of a sudden, either he or she notices, or you notice, that if you go a little heavy on this number and a little light on this number, because nobody would really notice if you did that, that changes from you owing $5,000 to you getting $500 back. There's all kinds of rationalization that can go through your mind right then. You can try to convince yourself, "Well, these are really the numbers after all. I wasn't positive about them." You can talk about all the crooks in Washington and how they're just stealing your money, or about you've paid your fair share of taxes over the year, or even the fact, "I don't have $5,000, so I don't know what I would do if I owed $5,000. Or you can step up and take responsibility. You can either choose the truth, or you can choose a lie. That's the power God grants us. We make decisions and choices. What path are we going to take? And whatever path we set down, it sets a pattern for us. Listen to what Paul said when he wrote to the church at Rome. I'm going to start in chapter 6, verse 16. "Do you not know that if you present yourself to anyone as obedient slaves," and here it is, "you are slaves of the one whom you obey." Ones of whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. Which pathway are you going to go down? Because you're slaves of the one that you obey. And if it's sin, it leads to death. The good news is that God has released us from sin. Listen to what he says in verse 18. And having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. You see, God has set us free from being slaves of sin so we can be slaves of righteousness. In other words, because God chose you, now you can choose to respond and to follow God. You do not have to be a slave of sin. You can be a slave of righteousness. By God's Holy Spirit, you can indeed make wise and good choices. And you can follow God, not because you have to, or because he's forcing you to, but because you want to. Because you want to. Does that mean you'll never do anything wrong again? Hardly. We know better than that. We're going to mess up every day. And we're going to make bad choices and we're going to make sinful decisions. But that's when we circle back around and we take responsibility. No excuses, God. I confess to you. And God washes you clean in the blood of Jesus. And he sets you out fresh and clean to start again, because he gives you a new life each time, a life that wants to respond to him and a life that wants to live for him, to have a relationship with him, because relationships are built on choice. So God gives us choices. What pathway we'll go down? Sometimes we'll choose the wrong path. But because of Jesus, we can start back over again and go down the right path. Perhaps the best way to summarize this all up is to go into the Old Testament, go to Joshua. Joshua at one point said to the people of Israel, he says, today's the day, folks. Today you got to make a choice, you got to make a decision. You can choose to hang on to the pagan gods you brought with you out of Egypt, or you can leave them behind and follow the one true God, follow the Lord. And may Joshua's answer to that be your answer and my answer. Perhaps you remember it. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Would you stand and pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for choosing us, for choosing to send your Son into our world. Jesus, thank you for choosing the nails to be the sacrifice for us and our salvation. And Holy Spirit, we ask that you would enter our hearts, that you would empower us. Empower us to take responsibility for our actions, but also to be faithful followers of the Son. In his name we pray. Amen.